Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
A Dublin woman this evening reveals how she was conned out of her pension savings by fraudsters impersonating Coldplay frontman Chris Martin. Scammers used artificial intelligence to make the woman believe she was in a romantic relationship with the singer and dupe her for over €25,000. It's the latest in a series of high-profile catfish frauds, prompting calls for Irish banking laws to be urgently upgraded. Our reporter Barry Lenhan is here and he has more. What can you tell us, Barry?
This woman contacted the programme after our recent coverage of the GAA catfish controversy. The Dubliner in her 40s works in a finance-related job and has resided at times in Northern Ireland. She wants to share her story this evening as she believes victims of fraud are afforded greater protections north of the border. And what she told me is corroborated by a wealth of documents, images and screen grabs. We're giving her the name Sinead to protect her identity. And this starts in 2021 during the COVID pandemic, when Sinead was contacted on Twitter by an account purportedly held by Coldplay's lead singer Chris Martin.
So it started in early 2021. What happened was I responded to a post that Coldplay management put up on Coldplay's Twitter. I got a contact from a man purporting to be Chris Martin. He sent me a message via Twitter with images of Chris Martin and Chris Martin's name on the account. And then he asked me for my phone number and I was quite dazzled. I didn't believe it was true initially, but then I was like, could it be? And I gave my number and he contacted me via WhatsApp and Facebook with fake Chris Martin accounts as well. And then he contacted me in Skype.
From an initial engagement to the band's official Twitter account, you were targeted from there.
I think I gave one word reply to a post that they put up and he contacted me from that. So they're obviously trawling readers' comments and targeting people that way. He contacted me on Facebook and he had a moniker under Chris Martin's name and he was like, keep this to ourselves, you know, I can't really go public because I'm a big name star, like obviously, so I don't want you to talk to anyone about me talking to you. I want you to keep it secret. And then he moved into Skype and he was manipulating me and kind of he started grooming me a bit more and more.
He built up trust with you, didn't he?
He built up trust and he was very smooth. He'd be humorous in his conversation. He'd be kind with his words towards me. But he did say initially, don't tell anyone that you're talking to me.
Was it a friendly conversation or when did it move perhaps towards a romantic conversation, if you will?
It was friendly initially and then he kind of started saying, I'm interested in you and I like what I see on your pictures. He got to the point where he started asking me for flight money to come to Ireland to visit me. I was taken in by it all, you know, and I ended up giving him a large sum of money towards flight costs because he said he was having problems.
But you did ask him whether he had a girlfriend at one stage, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I didn't really do a lot of internet searches on him initially and why he would be asking for a lot of money. It was only after when I did a search on Chris Martin after I got scammed that I could see he had about 150 million in wealth and that he had a girlfriend. I said to him at one point, you have a girlfriend? And he was like, no, that's fake. It's all for showbiz. It's put on.
Talk to me about the Skype and in particular the phone calls. What were they like?
He started sending me images of the real Chris Martin, but they were like direct headshots of him looking into the camera, images of orphans that he said he was looking after. He sent me a passport for Chris Martin, which was, when you look closely at it, it was a German background, but it had all Chris Martin's information on the passport. He sent me a driver's license for Chris Martin. I got a phone call off him. In the video, there was Phil Harvey, who's his manager, Guy Berryman, who's another member of the band.
And they were talking directly to you?
They were talking to me, yeah. The video was playing in Skype and they were talking to me. Now it was muffled, but it was enough to deceive me.
The fake Chris Martin waved at you in one communications as
well.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was every day for 4 months. Until
it was constant. He would contact me from 7 a.m. until 12 p.m. all day long, talking and messaging me and being romantic. And I thought it was the real person that I thought I was talking to, Chris Martin.
And you sent pictures back to him as well here, I can see.
Yeah, I did. I sent personal images, yeah. So just photographs of myself back and forth. It was going on for about 4 months.
At this point, the scammers moved to extract money from Sinead. They first asked for sums of 150 and 400 sterling to supposedly assist an orphanage Chris Martin had established. They then claimed, as alluded to there, the 47-year-old singer needed 2,200 sterling so he could afford a plane ticket to visit Sinead in Ireland. She transferred all three amounts to accounts the fraudsters requested. The Chris Martin impersonator then asked for a loan of €22,000, saying he couldn't access funds during the COVID pandemic. Sinead agreed and in all lost over €25,000.
I think he asked for his orphans, that he was looking for a donation towards them.
He sent you a picture of 20 what he said were orphans.
20 children that he was looking after, and it was just a picture of children in a room. He gave me a woman's details to transfer the monies to in the UK, and I thought that she was something to do with his management company, that he couldn't take payments himself, he couldn't give out his bank details because of his celebrity status. And I transferred the money, and then quite soon after that he asked for another 500. He kept using different women's bank accounts, three in the UK initially and then a woman in the US who I did the large transfer to.
And what he said was money for the orphanage. You went to the trouble of even buying presents.
Yeah.
For what you thought were orphans.
Because I thought he was, when he said that he was coming over on the flight, I thought they were orphans and I thought I'd buy them presents and he can bring them back with him. And I put together little packets of toys and sweets, just small packages like.
Also in terms of looking for money, he said that he couldn't receive touring income anymore, or his accounts were frozen due to the cessation of tours owing to the COVID pandemic, wasn't it?
He mentioned a film project and his touring income, and he asked me for a big loan of 20,000. And then just as I was about to transfer it, he said, oh, can you give me a bit more? Can you give me 22,000?
What happened around that transaction then?
Well, I said to him, I'll give you this money, but it's a loan. So I'm going to a solicitor and getting a loan agreement drafted. And I went to a solicitor and they drafted a loan agreement.
Before transferring the €22,000 to whom you believed was Chris Martin, what was that money ring-fenced for?
It was my pension account. In Dublin, I had it in a savings scheme in Dublin. I went into the branch and I did three or four transfers of €5,000 into my bank account in Dublin. I went into the branch then. At that point, he gave me the details of a woman in the US who he wanted me to transfer the money to, who I thought was something to do with his management. And he said, can you transfer it to this woman? I went into the branch in Dublin and the teller, she didn't ask me any fraud questions like, who is this person? How do you know them? If they had probed me, I would have said it's a loan for Chris Martin. At that point, they would have realised it was a scammer.
To build up that pension pot, how long did it take? A lot of work, I'd say.
5 years. Yeah, it's 5 years worth of savings.
Tell me about that conversation with your brother when you realised that what you thought was something real and something good was perhaps not so after all.
I didn't approach any of my family initially because he had asked me to keep things secret and I just thought I better just be private about this and just keep it to myself. I went to my brother. I said to him, eventually, I've been contacted by this guy and I've transferred monies. He said it's a scammer. And I said, what? No, it couldn't be. Like, my brother contacted Coldplay head office in London.
What went through your mind when the truth became apparent?
I was devastated. Really devastated. Like, it was such a large amount of money. Initially, I was so embarrassed. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I was really depressed. I was like, who am I actually talking to? Like, I've been romantic with this guy and I've been soft and I've been kind and I've been very gentle and I've been completely manipulated and duped into believing that this person is someone who they are not. Like I said, I felt really stupid. I cried a lot.
You confronted the catfish, didn't you not? And they still persisted with the scam.
Yeah, they said, no, it's Chris Martin, I'm real, it is me, and I'm Chris Martin, and will you give me another 20,000 euros? And I was like, oh my God, this is unreal, like, you know, and I was like, no, you're a scammer, and I want my money back. And they cut me off then, and they stopped all the conversation in Skype.
What happened then, Barry? And was it possible to establish at all where Sinead's money was transferred to?
The Chris Martin impersonator had asked her to transfer the monies to four different women, one in Glasgow, Scotland, two in England, at Bradford and Harlow, and a fourth in America, in Maple Grove, Minnesota. And after Sinead made a criminal complaint, a cross-border police investigation was mounted involving the PSNI and the Garda National Economic Crime Bureau. Documents show how Sinead's case was then escalated to Interpol and the FBI. And ultimately, detectives at Maple Grove Police Department in Minnesota tracked down and interviewed the woman who received Sinead's €22,000. She'd withdrawn the money shortly after it landed in America and closed down the account. However, the woman told police she too was victim of a similar scam, claiming a man supposedly from the UK had contacted her and requested monies be sent to him. She refused to tell police to whom or to where she sent Sinead's money. The Minnesota police and county attorney decided ultimately there wasn't enough evidence to press charges against her, telling Sinead how, quote, these cases are more common than you think, and the victims rarely recover any of their losses due to the international complexities involved and the multiple layers of deception that these scammers use.
What about the banks, Barry?
So Sinead transferred money from bank accounts based in both the Republic and Northern Ireland. Her bank in the north, HSBC, confirmed how Sinead was the victim of authorised push payment fraud. This is when someone is tricked into sending money to a fraudster posing as a genuine payee, and Sinead was given a reimbursement. However, different rules around APP fraud exist south of the border, and her bank in the 26 counties, Ulster Bank, refused to refund any money. An inquiry by the Financial Services and Pensions Ombudsman sided with the bank, although it did note how Ulster Bank had provided erroneous information on the supports it offers to victims of APP fraud. So what now for Sinead? Well, here's the rest of our conversation. What if somebody who might be listening and they might ask, or they might think, I suppose, how are you so silly to transfer the money? What do you say to that?
I was dazzled initially. I just thought it was the real person. Foolishly, I didn't do my checks throughout the conversation as to what his wealth was. Why would he be asking me for loans when he had extensive wealthy friends, when he had extensive wealth himself? I got manipulated. I didn't want the conversation to stop because I thought it was the real person. And I just thought, I have to do this to keep him talking to me. Like, you know.
Were you vulnerable at the time?
I was vulnerable, yeah. Yeah.
It took over a year, didn't it, to recover from this episode?
I'm still recovering 3 years on. Like, you know, obviously I'm talking about it now, but like I have to go through the courts and everything now with this because the bank has been so difficult in Dublin. And like, I have hope that I'll get the money back, but I just don't know what way it'll work out. Like, they might find in the bank's favour still, and then I'd be liable for more money, legal costs.
You've looked at the rules around APP fraud in Ireland especially. Mm. What do you think?
The APP laws in Ireland aren't up to the same watertight status as the UK. Over now in the UK, there's an APP code of conduct that all the banks signed up to. You can get a refund of up to £80,000 now back if you're scammed in the UK, but there's still no laws in Ireland that protect people from scams. Catfish scams are APP frauds. They're linked inexorably. He used a fake profile. He looked for money off me. He had to use bank accounts then to do that transfer. He used money mules then. I was a catfish scam initially.
You obviously heard the stuff around the GA catfish, which we featured on Drive Time, and also the story over in France where the woman was essentially ridiculed after she revealed she sent money to whom she believed was Brad Pitt.
And I seen the story in France because there was a lot of similarity between my case and that woman's case. I thought it might be the same gang. So I went back to the Irish and American police and I said, is there any way you could link in with the French police to see if this is a wider net of scammers? The GAA catfish scam it's easy to set up fake profiles. They just take their images off social media. I know this now because I've done the research after I got scammed. I was very naive. I was manipulated. I falsely believed it was the real Chris Martin and that I had to get him to stay in touch with me. I had to be complicit almost.
How are you doing now?
I'm fine. I'm trying to be positive. I've moved on. It's a lot of money, but he didn't harm me. I wasn't physically assaulted or attacked or anything for money to be taken off me. So I'm lucky in that respect that the money's gone, but at the same time, nothing negative happened to me apart from a bruising of my feelings.
Have you found it difficult to trust people since this?
Yeah, definitely. That's why I deleted all my social media. I don't take phone calls from anyone random. I have caller ID on.
Why speak out this evening?
Just want to highlight to people. It's very easy to be dazzled by someone famous contacting you. I'm hoping that it'll highlight to them just to be careful and do your research before you engage with any celebrity or anyone who says they're famous that's contacting you on social media.
That's good advice, and she is looking positively at the whole episode. Any response to all of this, Barry?
A spokesperson for Coldplay declined to comment, although those involved with the band point out how the only Coldplay member with an individual social media account is Guy Berryman's verified account on Instagram, and the band's management takes steps to close down any fake accounts. In correspondence with Sinead, Debs Wilde, the woman who initially spotted Coldplay in 1997 and the band's current fan liaison officer, described what happened here as, quote, a mind-blowing level of deceit, but added how there are now so many scams that it's impossible for those connected to the band to police them all. A spokesperson for the finance minister, Pascal Donoghue, says a number of steps are being taken at domestic and European level to combat authorised push payment fraud.
Barry Lenehan, it's an incredible story. Thank you very much indeed. And thanks to Sinead for telling her story as well. If you've been affected by any of the issues raised in Barry's report this evening, support is available at rte.ie/helplines. And if this resonates with you in some way, and if you have a story to tell, you can email us at drivetime@rte.ie.